All right, let's do it. I don't have a lot of time. It's 11:15. I've got to spit it out. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and I pray that everybody has a Bible. If you don't, you need to get used to carrying your Bible to church. It's your manual. It's the book that will work for you no matter what. All you got to do is believe it. It might take a little time to research it and find out where some things are, but there's a concordance in the back of a Bible that can give you some subjects or the words that you're looking for. If not, then you call the preacher. And I won't answer. You'll leave a message, and I'll get back to you. Maybe. But what you'll find is that that Bible will be something that's life-changing to you, because you'll go to it before you go to the banker. You'll go to it before you go to the doctor. Nothing against the banker and the doctor. Amen. We love them. But a doctor, my family, our family got lots of doctors now. We just had the last one, Megan. She's in the residency of med school, becoming a doctor. And so I believe in them. But what if a doctor tells you, tells me, or tells someone that you only got 6 months to live? Are you going to believe that is the final report given to you for life, and you just accept, okay, let me call the family. I'm going to be dying, y'all, about 6 months. Get prepared. Or would you dare to believe the Word of God that says you have power over life and death, and it's in your tongue? Amen. It's amazing. If you would just bring your Bible and read the book, it's a pretty cool book. It's got a lot of interesting things in it. Are you serious? I can literally speak. Well, let me not get ahead. I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, last week, y'all that are watching, because I get word from people watching all over the country, but a lot of my buddies will talk to me about they heard number one and two of last week's message, and that was the proof that they were actually watching. If my children are watching in Stephenville area, it is 11:18, and so remember, I'm going to ask you, when I talk to you here in a little bit, what I said at 11:18. My daughter last week, I said, did you go to church anywhere? She said, no, I watched you. I said, what I preach on? Well, I wasn't paying attention a lot, Dad. You know, I was in bed. I fell asleep a time or two. If we'll bring the Word of God, though, and it begins to be something that is a part of you, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. So bring your Bible. In it, Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Now, as I was saying before, though, last week I actually started in Isaiah chapter 40. Because it says exactly the same thing, because this was a prophecy that the prophet Isaiah was saying, and then Luke's Gospel says it again. And we began to talk about five wisdoms last week on really how to live in these times that we're in. And again, some rough things are happening in America. We have a divided country. You got Democrats and Republicans, and they fight with each other. And a belief system of how, you know, I tell a lot of people, when you vote, vote the Bible. And because we're Christians, I'll never forget a councilman that I knew, and he was a preacher, but he wanted to get on the council of the city and called me, and we were visiting, and somehow we got to talking about his belief system, And he said this. He said, you know, I can't really bring in my Christianity belief system into being a councilman. I said, how wrong you are. Because that's who you are. If you're a believer in Jesus, that's who you are. So the problem is we as believers in Jesus don't really know who we are. We come to church, we hear about this Jesus that we cannot see, by the way. I mean, thank God they saw him one day because he lived here 33 and a half years, the theologians say. And he was raised and did some wonderful things, was the Son of God, did get crucified, put in a grave. A stone was rolled in front of the grave, the tomb. Guards were in front of the tomb to protect it because there was a prophecy that said he was going to be raised from the dead the third day. So they wanted to stick those guards there so that wouldn't happen. They couldn't come steal the body so that that prophecy would come to pass. And we know the rest of the story. He was raised from the dead. And praise God, all of it. And people saw it. It's recorded in history that Jesus was the Son of God. He healed the sick, raised the dead. I mean, some wonderful, mighty things happened during those times. But those times are supposed to take place now. Even though Jesus, we cannot see, we just have to believe by faith that he is the Son of God and he is the Lord of our life. He's really the only true hope you and I as believers have living today. So last week, we decided to try to figure out some wisdoms of how are we supposed to live in these days when a country's divided, when we're seeing some crazy things take place. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right nowadays. I mean, Christians are afraid to talk about marriage being between a natural born man and a natural born woman. I mean, we get persecuted. Facebook has put out 60, 70, some odd genders. But the believer only believes in two, a man and a woman. Amen. Nowadays, you can say whatever you want to say. You can be whatever you want to be. Liberty Hill, Texas High School. I never knew what a furry was. And only the youngins know what furries are. Because us older folk with gray hair don't know what a furry is until I had to say, what is a furry? A furry. Well, it's someone that believes they're a cat or a dog. I said, what? I said, your mama. Because we send the cat out. Side. We'll let the dog come in. But he got to sleep at the end of the bed on the floor. Oh, I know y'all's dogs sleep under the covers like Wrangler does under Jamie's legs, but then at 3 o'clock in the morning, he barks at the door to go outside. And being a light sleeper, Ricky, I get up because there might be pigs outside. That's what he thinks probably. So he goes out, a little weenie dog, by the way, this tall, is at the door, and I'm trying to wake up. And I'm opening the door, and he, like he's the biggest, meanest lion there is. I know it's just weird things that are going on in this world. So we're having to live in it, but we are not supposed to live of it. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom on how do we maintain our belief system when our government's trying to do away with the belief system. I saw where in one state, I don't remember if it was Texas or another state, where there's a satanic club trying to get a group together at the high school to meet and be a club. And the moms and dads are coming against a satanic club. Well, But there, if there's freedom, you're not supposed to discriminate against the satanic club and then have a Christian club. And it's like, oh man, what do we do, dadgummit? Because now they're going to do away with all clubs, you see. Well, how are we supposed to live, by golly? Well, since in Isaiah 40, there were some wisdom that was put in the Word of God for all of us, and then recorded again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, we found out last week that we need, especially in a wilderness area, going through trials and tribulations that all of us go through, we need to know what to do when we go through the thing. And the key word is, we need to go through them and not stay in the middle of them. Because that's what most people do, is they'll get into a hurtful place. Someone does them wrong, or they're hurt in some way, and they stay hurt for a long period of time. Or how about death? How about death? People, I'm telling you right now, grieving is not from God. But yet we've been programmed that when someone dies, we've got to take time to grieve. No, you don't. You need to keep living. Because that's the problem, is you're still grieving. And grieving, again, is not from God. Grieving is designed to keep you in that state of hurt for a long period of time. Matter of fact, people build a tent in the midst of hurts, trials, and tribulations instead of getting on through them. Now, it's not wrong to be sad because someone left this earth, but if they were born again, the Bible says that death has no sting because we know where they're at. If we don't know where they're at, then by golly, we need to do a better job of getting people born again so that they know where they're going when they leave this earth. They bust heaven wide open and not any other place. But man, there's a lot of unbelief out there. How are we supposed to live? Well, the first thing we talked about last week was removing the obstacles. In Ephesians, we went there, it talks about give the devil no place. Because, man, we need to understand that the devil's constantly wanting to trip us up and put obstacles in our way so that we don't reach the promised land. That we don't see the manifestation of someone's hip being healed this morning. No, we want to be concerned about the pain that we're going through instead of getting our eyes focused and meditating on the true healer that can get rid of the pain. Matter of fact, that's already got rid of the pain. Okay? So we got to remove the obstacles. And then the second thing we found out, that God gives us wisdom and comforts His people in, is that He makes straight and smooth in a desert place, in a wilderness place, in a trial and a tribulation. He makes smooth in those places a highway for your God. In other words, when you sin, don't run away from God. That's the time I ministered to lots of college kids. That's really where I started in the ministry in 96. High school rodeo in 84, 83, in that area. And one thing I understand about high school and college kids is you better say it how it is. Don't sugarcoat anything. They just need it. I just want to hear what does it say, and then I'll make up my mind if I want to receive it or not. And one thing I know about college kids is when you sin, the worst thing you can do is run away from the Lord. You know, well, yeah, but we, you know, if we fall short of the glory of God, then, you know, God turns His back on me when I sin. And I'm telling you, He does not. Because that's what we're trained, you know, people to do is we sin, we feel guilt and condemnation. Well, who brings that? A devil. A devil. He wants us to be guilty at the bad things we did. Man, if I lived under guilt and condemnation, I'd never be up here preaching the Word of God. I would be held down under because of what I did in college. The party being at my house. I'm a fun guy, okay? I should have never done it, though. I knew better. I was raised right. My dad was a pastor. Mom led the singing. Well, the Word says, though, that God makes straight and smooth in those areas of when you're in the midst of sin or trial or tribulation, a highway for your God. Because that's, you really want to run to Him when bad things are happening. All right? Let's go through 3, 4, and 5 real fast, though, because it's going to help us. All of this is found in Isaiah 40 and Luke chapter 3, starting in about verse 4, it says this. As it's written in the book of the words of Isaiah, remember, it was he said it in Isaiah 40, verse 3, and so on. Now he's saying in Luke's gospel, it was written by this prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the what? Wilderness. It says the same thing in the King James here. It says, this is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Okay? So in your mind, I want you to think, it's talking about when you're in a bad place. When you're in a wilderness place and you don't know which way to go. The devil wants to put obstacles in the way so you don't reach where God wants you to be. He wants you to get upset over everything. Someone sitting in your seat at church. Someone didn't say hi. Things that happened outside the church. You know, saw one of, you know, you saw a preacher fall or whatever. And he's just trying to trip you up over and over and over. And so it's talking about you're in this place of a trial, a tribulation. You're supposed to get on through it, right? Okay? And he's saying, look, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness, shouting in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make his beaten path straight. This is the Amplified. Verse 5 then says, and every valley and ravine shall be filled up. Oh, man, I like that. I'm like that because I was born on the ranch, man. I know, you know, you can be on top. We'd get our horses, and we'd usually be riding young horses, getting them just broke. And we'd get them up in the hills of Ira and Sheffield, Ozona, Sonora, and all that country. And Fort Stockton, where we ranched it at a time. And, I mean, they had rim rocks. And those horses could only get up one area because the rim rocks were, gosh, you know, sometimes it's as tall as this one side, you know, and so you couldn't go off. Now, a goat could. They can get away. Man. But anyway, there's rim rocks. And, man, your horse had to be a rock horse. And they had to get through to the top. But then, man, when you started going down and you'd get in those valleys, oh, that's where the grass was. Usually you could find some water right there. For the cattle or whatever, that's where you hunted. That's where the water was, and you could get some animals and some deer or whatever. In that country, there was a few mule deer and so on. Okay, so here it's saying every valley and ravine shall be filled up. In other words, you don't have to keep going down and digging down. I've always said, look, when you're in a hole, quit digging. Because you'll just keep going down. No, it's time to get up and get in the promised land. But look what number 3 is. It says, and every mountain and hill shall be made level. I'm telling you, the devil wants you to climb and just, he wants you to get so tired that you're ready to give up before you get to the top. And here God's saying, there's some wisdom for you in the midst of a trial and tribulation. I will make every mountain and hill just be leveled, praise God. I'll make it easy on you if you would just simply trust me. Now, hold your place right here in Luke, but back up really fast to Matthew, because I've said it so much, but you've got to see this. Matthew chapter 21. Just back up real fast. Hold your place right there in Luke 3, and look at Matthew chapter 21. Jesus here is talking. And let's read verse 21. Ready? Now we're talking about a wisdom of going through a trial and tribulation. Your God says that he'll make every mountain and hill be leveled. So you ain't got to climb and go through all that crud. No, no, no. He'll just make you have a blessed time of getting to your destination of what you're believing God for. Look what it says right here. So we're talking about mountains. 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily, I say unto you, if you have faith," look at me, everybody. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have to have faith. Because you can't see him. You have to have faith, believe in something that you cannot see. Remember Hebrews? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So we're believing that we are believing in a Son of God, Jesus, that is our Lord, even though we can't see him. Now we've got the book, though. We've got the Word of God, right? And people saw him, as we talked about earlier. So Jesus says, if you have faith and doubt not, that's just being a believer, y'all. That's who we are as Christians. We're not doubters. By golly, we're believers. Ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. You may say it again. All you've got to do is say to the mountain, whatever the mountain is. Let's say a doctor said you're dying. Well, that's a pretty big mountain, right? You can say to that mountain, I did it with my life. They took out 16 inches of intestines and a little bit of the colon. Now, I'm reminded of this because last night, my wife don't know this, but I didn't sleep. Maybe a couple of hours, did you know it? That's because you were sleeping. I feel great though, right now. I my stomach kind of was hurting, and so I tossed and turned, but it gave me an opportunity to not just allow the tossing and turning, but I started speaking to it because I remembered when they took out 16 inches of intestine and a little bit of the colon, and the doctor, when he was waking me up, said, y'all remember, you have a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. And I remember, because of me being raised in the Word of God, saying, no thank you. That's what I said, y'all. I said, no thank you. And you know how you medical people are. He grabbed me right here and he must not be awake. And they pinch you right there. It's not right. And they pinch you. And he said, you've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but we can manage it. And I again said, no, thank you. And I know he thought I was crazy. I just know it. And they wheeled me to my room. Mom and Dad got there finally, and they said the doctor came in only one time through that hole, and I had tubes down my throat by this time. And he said, I don't know if you understood, but you've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. And I said, mm-mm.
No, thank you.
And Mom and Dad was in agreement. Amen. Okay. The doctors were saying this to me, right? What if I would have said, okay, I received that, my Crohn's, people do it all the time, my diabetes, my arthritis, my. And she just said, it ain't yours, in a country accent. Can you say it again? Are you going to believe that report? Or are you going to speak to the mountain like I did and say, uh-uh. Listen to me. They said I would have to take medicine for the rest of my life. They told a cowboy I was going to have to stop riding and roping and I would have to manage my body so that more intestines wouldn't get removed and more of the colon wouldn't get removed until I died. That was 20 plus years ago, and I've never taken one pill. Why? You know why? Because of the wisdom that we're reading this morning, I spoke to the mountain And I said, Crohn's? No. You're not going to control this body. Matter of fact, Jesus has already died, and by his stripes, I'm healed, and I don't receive it in Jesus' name. I did it in the name that's above every name, not in the name of Corey Ross. No, in the name of Jesus. I said, I am healed. I am blood-bought, praise God. I am a soldier of the kingdom of God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Jesus died so that I am healed by his stripes. Amen. I spoke to the mountain. That's what this is saying, y'all. How God says every mountain and hill shall be made low, but you've got to speak to the mountain. You've got to say, marriage, you're going to survive in Jesus' name. If someone's trying to kill you, you're going to say, no, I speak life over this body, and I'm healed by the power of God from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Body, line up with God's word. Maybe you're give out and tired. Well, there's a time you speak to that mountain. You say, body, you're just a fleshly body. The Spirit of God that I'm born again by lives on the inside of this body. So, body, you're not going to be tired any longer. Wake up in Jesus' name. Now you might have to sleep. I mean, don't forget rest. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Number four, real fast. Number four, a wisdom going through trials and tribulations or being in a desert or wilderness area. Remember, this comes from the children of Israel went around in circles for 40 years when they could have got through the wilderness in a few days. But they murmured and complained and got their eyes on all the junk of the world, and it kept them confused. Amen. And I'm seeing that in our world today. Amen. Don't you be afraid to tell a young kid right and wrong. Amen. and a belief system in Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, but what if we get persecuted? It doesn't matter. We're trying to save their life. We're trying to teach a youngin. Thank God for young people that come to this church. I mean, I love all our gray hair folk. The wisdom. We need that. But we need a church that reproduces, where young people come and get fired up. They don't have to wait till they're old to start serving God. No. They need him now. Okay. Look now at verse 5 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. We just said that number 3 was every mountain and hill shall be leveled. Look at number 4. And the crooked places shall be made straight. Glory be to God. I think going in the right direction is pretty important, don't you? I mean, going in the wrong direction, beating our head and hitting walls, I mean, it's time that we go in the right direction. And sometimes it seems like there's walls going in the right direction because you got to believe. I mean, you've got to stay in faith. You can't give up. You can't let your mouth start talking all that negative junk. You've got to keep the Word of God in front of your mouth constantly and coming out of it. Because that's really what people are hearing. But more importantly, that's what you're hearing. Because what you say, that's why when we speak to the mountain, we command. You can't command anything underneath your breath. No, you got to command the mountain to be cast into the sea. And not doubt in your heart, but believe the things which you say will come to pass. And then remember, it says you'll have whatsoever you say. Okay. And I know this is a repetition thing, because we've got to keep living faith. I mean, a lot of people believe for one thing, and it comes to pass, and then they back off. No, you keep living in faith. We keep speaking to the mountains, because they keep coming, right? I mean, there's still a devil out there. He's getting defeated, because we know the end of the book, right? But he's still roaming like a lion. That's what he's doing. He's just seeking. Yeah, I think I can go on this side and make a couple of them upset. me see. Which one's... No, he'd been praying. Which... Oh, yeah, her. Her. No. She just looked at me like the woman. What'd you say? So she's a believer. No. Ed. It might... No, he's got a lot of gray hair, so he's been through a lot. See, that's what the devil's doing, though. He's just finding the one that he can devour. The one that he can just, look at y'all are looking down like, don't look at me. The devil is just a fallen angel, y'all. Amen. You are created in God's image. An angel is not. An angel is just created. We are created in His image, in His likeness. We are someone in Him, you see. So, he's trying to say right here that it's important for all of us to understand that when there's a crooked way, and it seems like it's just, I can't ever get that straight line going. He's going to make the crooked and uneven straight if you would just dare to believe His word. Let's go on to the last one, though, so we can get really excited. You ready? The last thing after the crooked places shall be made straight, it says this, and the rough, this is number 5, the rough roads. This is usually when people fail right here. It's when they give up. Is there's a rough road. But God says, and the rough roads shall be made smooth. Yeah. Oh, man. How many of you raised on some dirt roads? Anybody? Right? I mean, y'all ever been driving down those roads and you have those little bumps? And what do you do? No, you get mad. Because it's tearing up your truck or your car. You're ticked off, it seems like. And what do you say? When's someone going to make this thing smooth? When are you going to get this rough? Oh, man. Oh, I saw it on Facebook. This road right here. 1869 going to 1174. That's where I live, off over there in Oatmeal area. Whatever those people did that thought they were making a smooth road, let me just use some King James vernacular. They don't knoweth what they're doeneth, because they're crazieth. It was terrible. So someone had to have told them, because now it's smooth. And I enjoy going down that road. Where before I was thinking about cussing and learning how. I just got to listen to some of y'all probably. People are like, he's talking to you, John. I'm kidding. Look, God's saying, hey, you know what? It may be a rough road where it's getting you ticked off. And it may be tearing up your front end. But God wants to make that rough road smooth. That's some wisdom, y'all. So listen to me. Whatever you may be going through, trials, tribulations, maybe you're in a state of things going pretty smooth right now. There's going to be an opportunity for you to get on the rough road. You're either going to give up and say, you know what, this tithing stuff, it just ain't working. You know what, I'm still hurting in this body, and I've been confessing that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Amen. It just ain't working. Yeah, my marriage. I mean, I'm just tired of the way he acts and treats me. And then he's saying the same thing about you, probably. Yeah, she's mean. She don't cook chicken fried steak anymore. I mean, you everything comes up, right? This is not the time to quit. This is the time we press on. This is the time we tell that mountain, uh-uh, you're not stopping me. My God says He'll make my mountains and hills lower. He'll make all the valleys of us trying to dig in. He'll just cause them to be smooth and straight. He'll cause those crooked places and those obstacles, He'll cause them to get out of the way. But you are going to have to do it. You're going to have to remove the obstacles and start talking right. There's a time when we've got to start talking what God talks. You know what He talks? I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. And you may have to say it over and over and over and over. When I was believing for my first motorhome, remember, I was preaching for George Strait. And I was having to sleep before the roping and before I preached at 8:30 or whatever in the front seat of a Dodge truck that was not smooth. It had a big old hump, and I was... You ever slept on a mattress that wasn't very good, and you woke up hurting? Well, I was like that, and then I was having to go and preach in front of all those people about a Jesus that loves you and died for you and wants to heal your body. And I mean, so I said, sir, this is how I talk to the Lord. This is how I talk to Him. I said, sir, I work for you. And you said in the Word of God that you'll meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Amen. You said in the Word of God that I can speak to the mountain. I am working for you. And I'm having to sleep in a truck, not a motel, because they're all taken because everybody loves George Strait. I need a motorhome. He said, all right, sow a seed. So I did. This is my last story, y'all. Maybe. I gave $1,000. That was a lot of money to me at that time. It still is. I mean, but I gave $1,000 to a ministry that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people got saved in, and he needed a faster transportation. He needed an airplane. And I wasn't against a preacher having one. Not when their heart's right. So I sent it, and I wrote him a note, and I said, hey, I'm sowing this seed because I'm believing for a motorhome. So what did I do? Out of my mouth, I started saying, thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. I probably would confess it out loud, right, James? Was we married then? We wasn't married yet, so you don't know. Forgot. But you've heard the story. I would confess it over and over and over and over a day. Sometimes hundreds of times a day. Every time I would see one as I traveled, I would see a motorhome and I'd go, whoa, thank you, Jesus, for mine. Not that one, for mine. Over, and they got nicer and nicer and nicer. 1 month went by and I didn't see anything. What if I would have gave up? What if I'd have quit? Said, gosh, stuff don't work. Confessing, come on. A month and 13 days later, though, of me confessing the Word of God, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, hey, God told me to give you a motorhome. Come on, y'all. Did you hear me? If He did it for me, He's got to do it for you. All you got to do is believe. Over and over, I said, thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. Thank you, Lord, for my motorhome. I'm tired of sitting, sleeping in a front seat of a pickup truck, trying to preach the Word of God, sir. I work for you. You said I'm the heir of you and a joint heir with my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a son of God. Amen. I'm not just a servant. I serve, but I'm your son, sir. And the Word says what it says. And I'd just say whatever. I mean, I wasn't mad. I was just saying, sir, I don't think a believer in Jesus ought to be sick and sleeping in the back in the front seat of a truck. I wasn't sick, but I was just saying. And when those people came up to me a month and 13 days later, said, "Hey, the Lord told me to give you this motorhome." Oh, I was ministering to college kids, y'all. I tried to break the Guinness Book of World's Record. I got 17 college boys to sleep maybe 13. Maybe only 10, but still. I mean, they just needed refuge, man. I was preaching to them. And that God supplied it. What if I'd have gave up? Don't you give up. Amen. Don't you give up. Amen. You get your faith up. That's why you come to church. Don't you give up and stop getting in that habit of coming to this place. If this is your church, you need to be here. If it's not and you're not called here, go find the place that you can get called to. Because where you'll grow where you're planted. In a couple of weeks, we're going to, before I give a salvation plan, everybody that's been coming here and you believe this is supposed to be your church, I want you to join it. We're not big on joining. Most of y'all know I grew up in a church that voted you in. Sally Mae and her husband, George, is wanting to join the church. All in favor? What if they would have said, "No, we don't want them. So we don't vote you in." Because you can get voted out. But you need to be here and be a part. And make a covenant with us. So we're going to do that. Amen? Amen. But don't give up. You're going to leave this church here in a few minutes. And it's not time to give up and go back to the ways of the world. No, you stay fired up. You got to raise your family in the right way. This is the place for refuge. Amen. This is where you get built up to get out there and speak to the mountains. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus. I've been talking about him, but you don't know him. You don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and died. And I'm not speaking death. I always make sure I say that. I'm not speaking death on you. I'm making you think about something. There's going to be a time when you leave this earth. I pray it's when you're old, when you're ready. You're going to stand before God. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. And you're going to be standing before God by yourself, not with your husband, wife, family members, or friends. Individually, you're going to stand before God. If Jesus, the Son of God, the one we're about to celebrate his birth next Sunday, if he's the Lord of your life, you've confessed him, Romans 10:9. You've confessed him as Lord with your mouth, believe that he was raised from the dead. Remember, the Bible says you'll be saved. Born again. When you stand before God and Jesus is your Lord, whenever that might be, with Jesus being in your heart, being your Lord, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then he'll say, "Enter heaven, the rest, the joy of the Lord." Oh, man. That's what I want him to say to everybody at the sound of my voice. But I can't make you give your life to him. I wish I could. You're going to have to choose it this morning. Y'all that are watching, you're going to have to choose it. Is he your Lord? Or have you chosen that you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff? You don't know if you believe in it all. Well, I'm here to tell you, it takes more faith to believe in a world that was just created by a big boom than it does a creator that made the heavens and the earth. I mean, the sun, the exact distance from the earth where we live, where we don't burn up, and a moon where we don't freeze. And then to make our bodies the way, I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of faith to believe in that your body and all the cells of your body and your brain and how it functions, the blood that flows through, a heart that beats to make the blood flow. You're telling me you're believing that we just evolved from a big bang, then believing in a creator? But you have that will. You can say no to God. And if you do, let me tell you what God's going to say. Because you're going to still stand before Him and He's going to say, depart. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'm telling you, I don't want Him to say that to anybody. I don't care how bad they've treated me. I still want people to go to heaven. But there's only one way, according to John chapter 14. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman, no one can come unto the Father but by me, Jesus. That's why God sent Him, y'all, the only begotten Son, that if you would believe on Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. You'll live forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called heaven. Please choose that. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer with all of us right now. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, ask Him to come into your life. I'm going to pray the prayer. Repeat it after me, but believe what you pray. And we're going to pray it out loud. You're also going to notice that all the believers in here are going to pray this prayer with you. They're learning the prayer, by the way, so they can lead others to Jesus that won't come to this church or any church. But they're going to pray it with you right now. If you would just pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. You ready? So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you died, ask Jesus to come into your life right now, please, I beg you. And then we'll just pray it with you. You ready? And we're going to do it with boldness out loud. So let's all say it, especially you that are giving your life to Him for the first time. Pray this right now with us all. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins because I believe that you were raised from the dead and I'm going to serve you. I may need some help, but I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, you gave your life to Jesus this morning, all I want you to do, and I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front, all I'm going to ask you to do with boldness, though, is when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer and Jesus is my Lord and I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. If that was you and you gave your life to Him, don't be ashamed to get that hand up. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Please don't be ashamed to let people know that you gave your life to Him. So you're going to acknowledge it before me. If you just gave your life, get that hand up at the count of three with boldness in Jesus' name and then just put it right back down. 1, 2, 3, go. Make sure I can see it. Just raise it up. Put it right back down. Let me see it. All right, look at me. Very seldom at this church do we not have anybody give their lives to the Lord. But evangelistic-wise, I want people saved. I mean, that's how you reproduce. So it's up to y'all and me to get people here. Even if you don't know how to lead them to the Lord, get them here, man, and we'll lead them to Jesus. Amen. Did y'all have a good time? Hardest.